Welcome to the Real Estate Matters Podcast. I'm your host, James Benedetto, and I have a very special guest here in studio. It's very rare we do in-studio interviews anymore, but for this guy, we had to make it happen. Joshua Davis is here, the Recruitment Associate for Retail Strategies. I would call him a good friend of mine, but man, just a superstar that's coming into the business. Joshua, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So what's it been like to be back in Tuscaloosa? I know we finally got you back in here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been dying to get you back in this office.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been great, man. I think I spend a lot of time outside of Tuscaloosa than in town these days.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I can be in town, you know, to smell the fresh air of Tuscaloosa, see some great developments going on in town.
And, yeah.
Just experienced T-Town is fine, so it's been good.
Yeah, man. I mean, you've been all over the place, and it's been you're one of my favorite stories that I've been able to tell here since I got started in the job as the communications specialist. But why don't we just start at the beginning? Kind of walk me through just how Joshua Davis got to the point that he's at, and you can start wherever the heck you want. But man, you got an awesome story to tell, and I'll just get out of the way and let you tell it.
Well, I'll kind of replay. The conversation that we had not too long ago when we did our interview.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it all started, honestly, you know, back in the day, Bessemer, Alabama, as a young guy, you know, grew up, just me, my dad, my two sisters, grew up, you know, idolizing my dad for, you know, his hard work and dedication to, you know, raise a family by itself. Kind of graduated towards, you know, a different life outside of Bessemer, Alabama. One thing led to another. I ended up in Tuscaloosa. Went to Hoe High School, so go Ironman.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Graduated from Hoe High School, started my college career at Shelton State. But at the same time, I started working. I worked at Publix around that time in 2015. I started working at Publix. Was trying to, like, juggle the lifestyle of working school. I really didn't know what I wanted to do just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing led to another, and I started working more than I was going to school. Fell in love with, you know, the retail industry at Publix and the company. It was a great company. But, you know, my dad always taught me, you know, once you start something, you might as well go ahead and finish it. So while I was still working at Publix, started back going to school, finished up at Shelton State. I knew I didn't want to stop there. So I didn't really think about any other school other than the University of Alabama. I already had some connections there. Some people that I knew that went through the capstone. So applied to the University of Alabama, got on board with, you know, some great people, met some, you know, great people along the way. One of the man, the myth, the legend is old Grayson Glaze.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You know that guy. I think a lot of people know that guy. But, you know, after that moment of kind of like realizing what I wanted to do and navigating the tools that I need to be successful, that's kind of where it all started. You know, once I started to have a clear cut vision of what I wanted to do and, you know, meet the right people, it was just off to the races.
So how long did it take for you to get that clear cut vision? Because, you know, from the story that I got from you and obviously what you just retold, you know, you had a couple different stops along the way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It wasn't obviously very clear. And
yeah.
it what I find very interesting and something that I have in my life, and I feel like a lot of people that may listen to this podcast or students or whatever, it's like, you know, it's ever changing. You know, you have an idea of what you want to do, and then all of a sudden a few years go by and, oh, maybe that's not exactly what I want to be doing.
Right.
How did you kind of handle that and adjust to that as you were trying to still kind of figure out what you wanted to do?
For sure. So I want to preface it by saying I'm still trying to figure out exactly, you know, my clear-cut vision. But I think if I was to rewind and look back to the point where it all clicked, it was pretty much, it's almost like when, like, the stars aligned.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I wanted to do as far as I wanted to be successful. I had, like, this vision in mind of what I wanted my life to be like. I just hadn't reached that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew making the right decisions at the right time, meeting the right people at the right time, I would eventually line up to that point. I mean, but honestly, you know, I give a lot of the credit to the people around me. Great, like, I talk about my dad a lot. Great support system with my dad. Him kind of like pushing me to, you know, be more than what I thought of myself at the time. I give a lot of credit to my then girlfriend, fiance, my wife now,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, doing the same thing, you know, just pushing me every day. So those people around me pretty much got me to the point where I was like, I got to get my stuff together.
Yeah.
And, you know, make things right. I mean, but so it clicked at the moment where, honestly, one day at work I was at Publix and I was like, you know, this is great, but I think I want more in my life. But I knew I needed the educational aspect of, I needed that marked off my to-do list. So at that point, it clicked to like, you got to go back to school. And then it was kind of like a trickle-down effect of, you know, I got this checked off, so let me go tackle the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So after I graduated, I was like, I need to, you know, continue my education, but at the same time, I was at a point in my life where I had to still work. So working and going to school, I've been doing it for a while, but along the way, I made a lot of, I would say, great decisions that kind of put me to the point where I am now. So long-winded answer, but you know, hey. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I think along the way, with great decisions, it kind of just helped me to get to where I am now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned Grayson, and I know that you two have a really close bond, and I know he kind of helped you jumpstart this path into real estate. So why don't you go ahead and kind of go into that a little bit?
And I mean, it's. I tell a lot of people, especially like a lot of guys who, you know, come to me for advice or a lot of things that start with a conversation. So like I'll kind of run you through the story. So I had just recently finished up the CORE program, which, mm-hmm. You know, helps underrepresented groups, you know, get that first step into real estate. So I had finished that program, and about 2 months after the fact, I get this email from this guy named Grayson saying like, hey, you know, like if you're interested in real estate, you know, come be a part of my GBA class. And I was like, well, like that's me. Like I'm trying to like, you know, find a way at the capstone. I was new on campus at the time. I didn't know much about Grayson or Acres just yet. But I was like, well, this is real estate. This is what I want to do. So let me go ahead and do it. So first day I get in the class, I was like, you know, I've always been a student to kind of like, you know, shy away, go to the back of the class. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a center of attention. Like if the teacher, you know, has a question, I don't want to be like the first line of fire. So I was like, you know, should I sit in the back? And I was like, you know what, like I'm trying to start fresh, you know, be have like a new identity at the University of Alabama. So I was like, you know, I'm sitting in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Grayson was a big part of the CORE program, so I was like, well, this would be a great, you know, introduction to get to know this guy. So I sat in front of the class, went through the class, and I was like, before I leave, I have to introduce myself. And this is where I say it all starts with a conversation. So after class, I sparked a conversation with Grayson. I was like, hey, you know, like I just went through the CORE program. That alone was enough to, like, you know, get his gears turning, and, mm-hmm. and that got him excited. But I explained to him, I was like, well, this is what I want to do outside of this. I know this is a great, you know, first step, but like, what do I do now? Like, you know, what are the things or the tools I need to be successful along the way? He didn't have like a great, you know, plan in front of him at the time. I think I kind of caught him off guard, but that conversation sparked another meeting. That meeting sparked, hey, come to the Acre office and let me get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that, I think like the next class, Grayson does this thing where it's like he loves like putting the spotlight on great students.
Yeah.
So I think the next class he was like, hey guys, I want you to be like this guy Joshua. Like he came to me after class, you know, this is what it's all about. This is what real estate is all about. But I think that lit a fire under me, you know, because mm-hmm. like I said, I was trying to, you know, make this transition to being this shy kid to being this this outgoing guy, and that was like the first step. So that initial conversation, you know, it almost lit a fire into me to be like, all right, like this, like I had an initial conversation with this guy. If I can talk to this guy, I can talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And you know, throughout the duration of me and Grayson's relationship, you know, the connections that I've made, the rooms that I've been in, this is in large part because of him. But I think at the same time, it's because of, you know, I made that decision in my life to just put myself out there. If I wanted to be in an industry like this where I'm having a, you know, constant communication with people, that was the first step. But yeah, Grayson's a great guy. We have like this, one of the leaders at our office, he has this thing where it's like, hey man, Grayson, you know everybody. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, your funeral is going to be huge one day. You know, and it's crazy to say. But
that is crazy,
I mean,
yeah.
But you know, along the way, the people and the kids that I've seen him, you know, just, you know, he just takes everybody under his wing. He wants everybody to be greater than him. And it says a lot about him. So I think in large part, you know, I owe a lot of my, you know, where I am now because of him. He probably won't let me give him that credit. But yeah, Grayson's a great guy.
Yeah. You mentioned the CORE program briefly, and you've been such a great advocate for it. And, you know, even for me, you know, when I came in and got to meet you, you know, you helped me kind of really understand just what the impact it has for you, especially. I mean, obviously you can go ahead and talk about the impact it's had on you, but did the CORE program, did it kind of help you start putting some foundation down into what you wanted the career to look like? I know it's supposed to kind of give you a nice overview and get you kind of plugged into the right channels, at least to get started. But for you, did it really kind of start spurring like, okay, like I can actually do something in commercial and really start building out my career from there?
Yeah. So like before I even got introduced to the CORE program, I knew I wanted to be in real estate just because I used to see my dad, you know, wanting to tap into the industry. But I think a lot like a lot of people, the only thing I thought about when I thought about real estate is, you know, just the residential side of it. And I wanted to know more about it. And that's kind of when I, you know, got, you know, sparked into taking the CORE program. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I think it did exactly what it was supposed to do, like teach me about different aspects of the real estate industry. And, you know, along the way, I was like, you know, residential is great. You know, if I ever want to go back into it, you know, that's fine as well. But I think going through the program, I really fell in love with the commercial side of it. And I like, same for everybody. Like, you know, if you're great at marketing, there's a field in marketing when it pertains to real estate. If you just fall in love with, you know, the people side of it, or you know, you just want to do residential, that's great as well. But I think the CORE program, especially for like people like me who only saw a small aspect of it, it did what it was supposed to do. But going through it, you know, I knew once I reached the finish line to completing the course, I wanted to be, you know, that person to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned what I need to learn going through the program, and now I see myself being that same mentor to people that's coming after me. And that's ultimately what I think it's all about, especially, you know, for underrepresented groups like, you know, that like African-Americans, Hispanics, whatever case may be. I think that's the CORE program is and can be a large tool to help us get over that hump, to tap into a field that we, you know, may not feel comfortable in.
Right.
But yeah, it's been a hard part of, you know, my career. Honestly, through the CORE program, there's a guy named Joe Strauss who's a part of our office at Retail Strategies, mm-hmm. retail specialist as well. I met him after a CCIM event. And since I went through CORE and I was interested in, you know, trying to like tap into some internship opportunities and whatever case may be, I kind of connected the dots. I was like, well, this guy is an ambassador for CORE, and he, you know, he already works in the commercial real estate industry, and he went to the University of Alabama. Like, this is the perfect situation.
Right.
And I think a lot of people who went through the program can use the same tool. There's a lot of graduates that went through the CORE program that luckily, you know, they went through the capstone as well, and they can be that tool for them as well. So,
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy the connections. And like I said, I'm seeing it just from my side of the aisle, not even getting into the real estate side. But, you know, it's crazy how many people you just rub elbows with, and they're a UA grad, or they know somebody through somebody. And Grayson, we just talked about him earlier. I mean, he walks into rooms and he's the new mayor in town.
It's crazy. He probably could be.
I mean, honestly, I totally agree with that. I mean, I've seen him walk into so many rooms and he shakes hands with like 10 different people. And I'm like, that's like a CEO of a commercial bank, or, you know, oh, that's a CEO of, you know, Retail Strategies. Right. I keep thinking of Robert all the time.
The crazy thing is I used to grow up and I used to hate watching my dad, like, you know, he would go anywhere and he would just have these long drawn out conversations with just random people, you know? And as a kid, I used to look at him like, man, like this must be a best friend of his, you know, like he's been talking to him for an hour.
Yeah.
And we would walk away from, you know, the conversation. I'm like, yeah, like when did you meet that guy? He's like, well, just now, like I just met him. But I think that speaks a lot to, and it used to annoy me then, but now I find myself being the same person.
Yeah.
But I think that just speaks to, you know, if you got that side of you as far as like, you know, being personable with people and, you know, not being afraid to make those connections, the industry of real estate is great for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why a guy like Grayson has done so well in this industry, because he don't care who you are, you know, what's your background, you know, where'd you come up, he can have a conversation with you. And I think outside of just real estate, you know, making that personal connection with people can take you a long way. Because, yeah, like I said before, you just never know what will happen just by, you know, a conversation getting sparked.
It's funny, you kind of lead into that, and you were talking about, you know, how important it is to be personable and to kind of rub elbows with people and right. have those mini conversations. I know you mentioned earlier that, you know, that took you a little bit of time to kind of get used to it. Was that the biggest challenge you had when you got into the industry, or has actually something else come up where you've had to adjust a bit?
I think kind of working that kink out of my life on a personal side, mm-hmm, before I tapped into the, you know, getting involved in the industry, kind of worked for me. Luckily, like, once I made that, you know, jump towards, you know, getting involved and getting on campus, I was already making that, you know, step into my life to, you know, try to, like, be outgoing, make those personal connections with people. So once I tapped into, you know, getting, you know, highly involved in the real estate industry, it wouldn't be as much of a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, we'll find ourselves in situations where, you know, you may not want to have a conversation, or, you know, you're tired for the day. You may not want to talk as much.
Right.
But I think, you know, getting over that hurdle early kind of helped me to where I am now. So, mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the job you hold now, yep, with Retail Strategies. Talk to me kind of how you started. I know you brought up Joe a second ago and how I think you met him through your internship, or you reached out to him separately before your internship,
right,
there, correct?
So, yeah, I met Joe at a CCIM event.
Right.
And it kind of goes back to, like, one of the things that we hold high as far as at our company now is that pleasure persistence.
Mm-hmm.
So I met Joe, you know, Grayson was like, hey, you know, we're taking some of the panelists out, you know, to lunch, you know, after the CCIM event. I was like, hey, like, I'm down to go. It is what it is. So we went out to lunch, and I was just, you know, picking his brain about, like, what he does and how long he's been in the industry and what he does for the company. And I don't know if I was, you know, annoying him at first, but I think along the way, you know, he appreciated it. You know, and we do a lot, you know, as far as that Retail Strategies, on the commercial side of it, helping out, you know, different retailers tap into, mm-hmm, different markets that we work in. And I mentioned that I work for Publix. You know, obviously, like, if you say Publix, you know, to somebody who works in the retail industry, and, like, fireworks start going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever I said before then, once I said that, I think I got his attention. So we had a conversation about that, and I was asking him, like, some property management questions. And, you know, that was pretty much the end of the conversation, but I got a lot of valuable information out of him. And one thing that I always, you know, try to do once I meet somebody that I haven't met before is to follow up. Follow-up is very important,
mm-hmm,
in any industry, but it's very much so in the real estate industry. So I followed up with him. He probably gets hundreds of emails a day, mm-hmm, hundreds of phone calls a day. You know, an email from a guy that he just met at the University of Alabama probably just went in the wind.
Yeah.
But I think a month or two later, he responded. To, you know, kind of like set up a conversation, maybe come out to the office and meet him and some people of the team. So that's what I did. So 2 months later, I met him. I met our CEO, Robert Jolly, at our office, and just, you know, pretty much kept picking his brain about, you know, what they do, you know, asking more about the company, his experience in real estate. Went very well.
Mm-hmm.
Left that meeting, followed up again. And I asked him, like, hey, you know, if you guys have any, you know, internship opportunities, I'd love to be a part of the team for the summer or whatever case may be. Pleasure persistence. I had to keep following up. Obviously, you know, him and Grayson has a great relationship. I'm pretty sure, like, they may have had some conversations outside of fact. But one thing led to another, and I got offered an internship at Retail Strategies that I started in May of 2023.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just it takes that sometimes. Like,
yeah.
If I had just met him at lunch and, you know, I was like, hey, you know, this guy is great, but I'm not going to follow up with him, I may have never got an internship.
Right.
Or like, you know, if I had never used that connection that led me to somewhere else, you know, along the way, who knows what would have happened. But yeah, that pleasure persistence kind of what got me over that hump.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. So then kind of walk me through you do your internship.
Yeah.
I know we were working relatively together here, and then you were kind of still being an ambassador for CORE, and then you get the recruitment associate position. Just kind of how did that happen?
So I went through started in the summer of 23. pretty much as like, you know, flex guy going through, you know, getting to know the company a little bit more and, you know, understanding what it is that we do for different cities across the U.S. And, you know, obviously, I mean, it didn't take long. I was already in a, you know, a commercial real estate field that I've been thinking about for the longest. So this was pretty much my first taste out, you know, outside of, you know, working here at Acre for a little bit. I felt like at that point I had made it, but not mm-hmm. yet. Right. So like going through my day to day, I was working there 5 days a week. Pretty much trying to understand what it is that, you know, we do and how I can see myself within this industry. It didn't take long. I fell in love with it. I think, you know, the infectious culture that, you know, we have at Retail Strategies, it made it a lot easier, mm-hmm. you know, to fall in love with. Obviously, I didn't know everything I need to know then, you know, but kind of having the people around me to, you know, teach me about, you know, different things in the industry, different things to look at to kind of make, you know, myself more successful or like get to where I wanted to be in life. But I went through that whole summer and so started back school in August. But, you know, it was just kind of like in the back of my head of like, man, I just kind of want to be as involved as I can, you know, in this space. So once I started back school, I was still like making that commute a couple of days out of the week to go up there and, you know, just pretty much extend my internship. And going through that, you know, being dedicated to the craft and, you know, trying to learn, you know, different things each and every day of, you know, how can I add, you know, something to this company, I mm-hmm. think, you know, really stood out. And one thing led to another. I got offered a full-time role that I started in February. So it's been great.
That is awesome.
It feels like 5 years, but that was pretty much from May of last year till now. But yeah. Along the way, it's been great.
Yeah, I when you say that, the first person I think about is your dad. And I asked this when we did our little profile. Or you know, when you got the news that, you know, you were going to get a full-time job in real estate, you know, was he the first person you wound up calling?
He may have been the second.
I was about to say, gotta call the wife first. That makes sense. Yeah, I understand
the wife. The wife was the first to know. Yeah. You know, for several reasons.
Right.
You know,
one,
that we have the same bank account, so yeah. I had to let her know, you know, that the income was increasing a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, my dad was the second person to know for sure. Obviously, just because, you know, this is something that I've talked about with him for, mm-hmm. you know, the longest. And, you know, I've always wanted to be in the industry, just, you know, coming under his wing. And, you know, I pretty much, you know, had a goal within myself of, you know, once I figured out what he was putting so much energy and what he was passionate about, that he pretty much just couldn't do because he had a different, you know, level of dedication to raise me and my sisters. I was like, man, whatever that was, you know, I'm gonna figure it out one day, and I'm gonna try to tap into that industry. So once I felt like at that point, like, hey, you know, I've not made it yet. I hate saying that I've made it,
right?
Because you know, you never pretty much make it. You're just always working towards the next goal.
Mm-hmm.
But once I figured out, like, hey, like I just completed a goal, you know, that will lead me to something else later on in life. It felt great, and I just wanted to share that moment with my dad. So that was a great moment.
Yeah.
I think outside of like, you know, getting married or having my first kid, small stuff, honestly, you know, when I tell him, like, it's like fireworks just start going off. He's as happy as can be. So what may not have been a big deal for me at the time, I knew making that phone call to him would make his day. So
yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing stories about that, especially because I know how close you two were, you two are, and how just how important this business was to him. And I remember you telling me all about that and, you know, for you kind of following in his footsteps. I love reading stories about that. So it's cool that I get to kind of witness it kind of firsthand here.
You got to meet him one day.
I have to. I mean, you got to bring him. You got to bring him around.
I got to drag him out of the house. Or, you know, he's not an active guy.
Yeah.
But now let me say, you know, I think the older he gets, the more he just wants to sit in the house and hang out with the wife. I tell him all the time.
Man's been working hard, though. I mean, call it what it is.
All these years. So I guess he's in early retirement. We'll just call it that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. So kind of switching gears again back to the career, I asked you a few minutes ago just kind of what were some of the challenges. Give me some of the things you were surprised about and some things that really felt like translated from, you know, from your time here at Acre and Core and at UA, mm-hmm. that's actually really kind of helped you get started.
Yes. Honestly, I would probably say seeing how long like a deal gets structured in the commercial real estate industry, you know, I hear from like a lot of guys that, you know, I've talked to that's been in the commercial real estate industry for the longest. They pretty much, you know, explain how everything is, a deal isn't done, you know, in the course of maybe a month or two mm-hmm. months. You know, sometimes it happens, but it's very far few in between. But once I got into the commercial real estate industry and I started, you know, helping these different cities get connected with different retailers, you know, in hindsight, you can be like, well, this shouldn't take, you know, too long. Like, this should just right. be like a couple phone calls, maybe, you know, a couple handshakes here and there, and everything should be good. But actually seeing it in person, you know, it kind of, I wouldn't say it was a hurdle or something I had to get accustomed to, but seeing it in person versus, you know, just hearing conversation about it was like night and day. And I will almost go back to a conversation that we were having before, pretty much speaking the language as it pertains to like some of the guys who've been in the industry forever. You know, you'll talk to people who have been in the industry for 30, 40 plus years, and you feel like you don't belong sometimes. So like, man, like this guy is speaking some language I've only read about. And here I am as a young guy in the industry, and I'm trying to have to keep up with this guy. But one thing I always have to remember is that guy, you know, he 30, 40 years ago was me.
Right.
You know, everybody had a start in the industry one way or another. So that was one thing I had to get used to is, you know, realizing, you know, if you're having a conversation with somebody at this point, you're trying to work towards a common goal. Kind of like not thinking like, man, I don't belong to be in this room or I shouldn't be having this conversation with somebody, with someone, was probably like my biggest hurdle that I had to overcome. But, you know, it took, or like making a mistake, you know, that I'm like, man, that was a crazy mistake, man. I know I'm new. This guy's probably going to think like, man, this rookie is just, you know, making another mistake. But it took a guy that was long in the industry to be like, hey, man, like, you know, I know you probably thought you're making a mistake. This is the end all be all. But I was once you, like, don't harp on it too much. Just keep going, do your thing. You'll be all right.
Man. Yeah, it's great. It takes a minute. I think I've heard this before, but, you know, we all have expectations of kind of exactly how it's supposed to look. And, you know, you get out there and all of a sudden you're supposed to know everything and kind of know how everything's all supposed to work. And right. you're still just trying to figure out like where the break room is and right. trying to get like a cup of water. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even that big of a deal.
It kind of takes that. So like once you made it to like, once you're gradually getting over the hump of like learning everything that you think you need to know,
yeah,
a different level of learning happens once you actually get into the situation where you got to use everything that you learn plus real world experience to create something special.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people after they get out of, like, I'll use the example of like, you go through 4 years of college. And you may feel like these 4 years of college have, you know, prepared you to, you know, get that big job that you always wanted, or, you know, go out into the real world and do X, Y, and Z. But it takes those 4 years in college plus that real world experience right. to get what you actually thought that you were getting just by getting 4 years. But I think that was a big hurdle for me. And I know, you know, a lot of people can probably say the same thing.
Yeah. It's funny, like the more we keep talking, the more I keep thinking about, you know, there's a whole boatload of prospective students that are going to try to one day get out there in the industry. And right. I know we've talked about this before, but it's crazy how much the real estate program has grown. I mean, we have over yep. 800 students here at UA, and according to Grayson, it's the largest in the country. I mean, I don't have stats that back that up, but I have to believe him and take him at his word at that, right? Right? I got to take him at his word there.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
A big part of it. Right. Don't sell yourself short there. But if you were to kind of, you had given some pieces of advice, some little nuggets throughout the podcast, but if you had, I'd say three, but, you know, there's always a list, right?
Right.
Of pieces of advice that you wind up repeating to other people, or you wind up thinking that, like, hey, if I had a chance to talk to a student that is getting into this industry, right. these are the three things I'd tell them. What would you tell them?
I would probably say, number one, don't be afraid to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of, and I can say this because I feel like I was the same person at a certain point. I've seen a lot of students who have so much potential. You know, so much, you know, you look at some people that are like, man, you would be a great lawyer, or you would make a great accounting. Me being in the industry of real estate, I've seen a lot of people who, you know, they just got it. But they might they may not have, you know, got over that hurdle to just put themselves out there yet. And so I would say, number one, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. You may not know, like, once you get that chance to get in front of somebody, that, you know, what that conversation may spark, or like how your potential and, you know, what other people may see in you may just blossom into something else. So that would probably be my number one. Number two, don't be afraid to have a conversation. I went to it's kind of like a forum not too long ago, and I was listening to this guy speak, and he was using this analogy of like an oak tree, how it takes pretty much like one acorn, small acorn, to make this huge oak tree. And I use that analogy because I kind of like, you know, correlated to like my life. You know, it takes like one small decision that'll make hundreds of, you know, big, you know, differences in your life. They will blossom into this, whatever it is, like a huge career or huge relationship, or if you're somebody who has like a financial goal, this huge, you know, financial aspect or investment. So you just never know, you know, what you'll get out of having a conversation. And I would probably say third, just, you know, follow your passion. You know, when I was growing up, as I've said already, I had like this what I would perceive as like a small passion in real estate initially. And, you know, I've thought about being a nurse, or, you know, going into, you know, different, you know, careers. But somehow, some way, it just always brought me back to that small passion, what I thought was small when I was young. That's a big passion of mine now. The more I try to just shove it in my back pocket and forget about it, you know, one more conversation led to like, man, like, maybe I should consider this, you know, this real estate industry. Like, nah, I'm just gonna like do XYZ. It's like, no. You should really, you know, tap into this. So you never know where your passions may take you.
Man, what an awesome conversation. Again, every time I talk to you, I'm like, man, I could talk to this guy for another hour.
I appreciate it.
But I've been chatting with you for over 30 minutes now, and I know you have plenty of stuff going on that you got to take care of. So, Joshua, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. It's great to see you back in the office. And yeah, man, just looking forward to watch this awesome career that you've got going on, man. Is there anything else that I might be missing, or anything else you wanted to add? Is there anything that really just comes to mind when coming to real estate, or anything that you want to add to this?
I think we hit it on the head,
man. That is awesome. Thank you so much for Joshua Davis for joining the Real Estate Matters podcast, and we'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
This has been the Real Estate Matters podcast, produced by the Alabama Center for Real Estate. Listen on Apple Podcast, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Podbean, or just ask Alexa to play the Real Estate Matters podcast.